This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to write a tension-resolving message when switching from a heated text exchange to a richer channel. Turn a volatile text thread into a conversation that actually heals. In short, switching from a heated text exchange to a richer channel is one of the most effective tension management moves available to you. But the switch fails if the bridging message is clumsy, defensive, or vague. Text strips the cues that make conflict resolvable tone, expression, and real-time response. The message that proposes the switch must be short, calm, and forward-looking, not a mini-argument. Done right, it stops the spiral and opens a channel where repair is actually possible. Definition: a tension-resolving message is a short, deliberate piece of written communication sent during a heated text exchange. Its purpose is to pause the conflict, acknowledge the tension without inflaming it, and invite both parties into a richer communication channel where resolution can genuinely happen. I watched a colleague lose a 6-year working relationship over a text exchange that lasted 40 minutes. The argument started over a missed deadline. It ended with a resignation. Neither of them intended that outcome. What finished the relationship was not the disagreement itself. It was that they stayed in the wrong channel while the temperature climbed, and neither of them knew how to write the one message that could have stopped it. That is the specific problem this article addresses: writing a tension-resolving message that moves a volatile thread to a conversation worth having. Understanding how to do this, and doing it in the moment when your hands are shaking, are two very different things. Why text exchanges escalate faster than any other channel. Text is the leanest communication channel you have access to. It carries words and nothing else. No tone of voice. No facial expression. No pause before a reply that signals the other person is thinking rather than ignoring you. In Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time, I lay out what I call the communication medium richness hierarchy, a ranked model that runs from in-person conversation at the richest end, through video call and phone call, down to email, and finally to text message at the leanest end. The richer the medium, the more cues you have to work with. The leaner it is, the more you are asking the reader to interpret, and under tension, people interpret against you. Text exchanges during conflict are uniquely dangerous for one reason: the speed. You receive a sharp message, your body reacts, and you fire back before your better judgment catches up. Emails at least impose a small delay. In person, you can read the other person's face and soften in real time. Text gives you nothing to read and no natural pause. Each exchange feeds the next, and the spiral accelerates. This is not a character flaw in the people involved. It is the predictable output of a channel that was not designed for emotional work. Staying in text once tension has risen is, as I have seen in decades of watching workplace conflicts unfold, the single most common and most avoidable mistake professionals make. What you need before you write a single word. Before you draft anything, two things need to be in place. Without them, the best worded message in the world will land wrong. First, you need to have stopped reacting. Not suppressed it. Stopped it. If you are still hot, your message will carry that heat regardless of how careful your words appear. Readers feel the energy underneath the language. Give yourself 5 minutes. Go for a short walk. Breathe. You cannot write a tension-resolving message from inside the tension. Second, you need a clear intent. Your goal at this point is not to win the argument, clarify your position, or get the last word. Your only goal is to shift the channel. Keep that singular. Everything else, including the substance of the disagreement, belongs in the richer conversation you're proposing, not in the bridging message. If you try to do both, you will do neither well. Once you're calm and your intent is clear, you are ready to write. The 6 steps to writing a message that actually works. Step 1. Acknowledge the tension without assigning blame. Your opening line does one job: it names what is happening in a way that the other person can agree with. You are not explaining whose fault the tension is. You are simply acknowledging that things have become heated. This matters because people who feel unheard escalate. People who feel hurt often pause. A good opening sounds like this: I can see this conversation has got difficult between us. Or, I think we have reached a point where this is not going well in text. Notice what is absent. No, you made me feel. No, when you said. Just a calm, shared observation. In Say It Right Every Time, script 116 puts it plainly: this feels like a conversation we should have by phone or in person. Text isn't great for this kind of thing. When can we talk? That is the shape of the whole message compressed into three sentences. Your version may need a line more, but it should never need much more than that. Step 2. Name the proposed channel specifically. Do not say maybe we should talk sometime. That is vague, and vague reads as passive in a conflict. Name the channel you're proposing: a phone call, a video call, or a face-to-face meeting. Be specific about which one, because the choice signals how seriously you're taking the conversation. A text suggesting coffee is warmer than one suggesting a formal meeting. A call suggestion is less confronting than asking for an in-person sit-down if the relationship is already fragile. Choose the channel that matches what the relationship can currently hold. For most workplace tension situations, a phone call is the right starting point. It is richer than text, it carries tone of voice, and it removes the physical confrontation that a face-to-face meeting can feel like when trust is low. If the relationship is strong enough, in person is always better. Step 3. Propose a specific time. Let me know when you are free is not a proposal. It places the burden on the other person and creates a second negotiation before the real one begins. Instead, offer two specific windows. I am free this afternoon between 2 and 4, or tomorrow morning before 10. Either works for me. This reduces friction, signals genuine willingness, and makes it easy for the other person to say yes. If you genuinely have no fixed availability, give them a narrow window rather than an open invitation. Any time this week produces hesitation, Wednesday or Thursday morning produces a decision. Step 4. Signal your intent without defending your position. This is where most people get it wrong. They slip one sentence of justification into the message. I just want to explain my thinking, or I want you to understand why I reacted that way. That sentence transforms a de-escalation message into a continuation of the argument. Leave it out. What you can do is signal your intent for the conversation itself. One sentence is enough. I want us to sort this out properly. Or, I think we can work through this, and I would rather do it properly than through messages. That is forward-facing. It tells the other person you're interested in resolution, not in rehearsing the fight. Step 5. Keep the message short enough to be read without resistance. This is a rule about human nature, not about word counts. When tension is high, a long message reads as an attack. The other person braces before they finish the first paragraph. You need them open, not braced. 3 to 5 sentences is your target. If you find yourself writing more, something has slipped back in an explanation, a defense, or a detail that belongs in the actual conversation. Read the message back to yourself and ask, does every sentence move us toward the call? Or does any sentence re-enter the argument? Cut any sentence that re-enters the argument. Be ruthless. Step 6. Close with one genuine line. End on something human. Not performative warmth. Not a formality. One short line that reflects what is actually true for you. I would like us to get past this, or this matters enough to me to get right. That line does something important. It reminds the other person that there is a relationship underneath the conflict. That is the ground the rest of the conversation will need to stand on. Here is what a complete message looks like when all 6 steps are working together. I think we have got to a point where text is making this harder rather than easier. I would rather talk properly. Are you free for a call this afternoon, say between 2 and 4, or tomorrow morning? I want us to sort this out, not keep going back and forth in messages. That is 52 words. It acknowledges the tension, names the channel, proposes a time, signals intent, and closes cleanly. Nothing in it continues the argument. When the other person is still hot and won't slow down. Some situations call for a modified approach. If the other person is still sending rapid, sharp replies while you're composing your bridging message, you need to name the dynamic before proposing the switch. Trying to propose a calm call while the other person is mid-explosion usually lands as dismissal. In these cases, add one sentence before your channel proposal. I can see you're really frustrated, and I want to hear you out properly. That sentence does something specific. It signals that you are not running from the conversation. You are proposing a better container for it. This is the difference between withdrawal and redirection, and the other person will feel the difference. If delivering difficult feedback has led to the text exchange in the first place, this is even more important. The person receiving feedback often reads a channel switch as an attempt to avoid accountability. Your message needs to make clear that you are moving toward the conversation, not away from it. For remote teams especially, where text and messaging apps are the default channel for everything, the median switch can feel more formal than it needs to. Normalize it. Frame it as a practical preference. Text is not great for this kind of thing, and I want to do this properly. That works. For more on channel selection in a remote context, choosing the right channel at work is worth a careful read before you find yourself in the next heated exchange. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. What goes wrong and how to fix it? These are the four mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them. The mistake, including one sentence that restates your position. Why it happens. You feel the other person has misunderstood you, and you cannot resist the correction. What to do instead? Write it in the message, then delete it before sending. It belongs in the conversation. Put it there. The mistake, waiting too long to send it. Why it happens. You're hoping the other person will cool down on their own, or you're not sure you have the right words. What to do instead? Send a draft version now rather than a perfect version in an hour. Imperfect and timely beats perfect and late in de-escalation. The mistake. Proposing the channel switch in a way that sounds like a reprimand. Why it happens. Phrasing like we need to have a proper conversation can read as condescending if the tone is off. What to do instead? Make it collaborative. I think we would both do better on a call. The both matters. The mistake. Sending the message and then continuing to text while waiting for a reply. Why it happens. The silence feels uncomfortable, and adding a clarifying message feels safer than waiting. What to do instead? Send it and stop. Every additional message you send dilutes the message you just sent. Trust the process. If emails rather than texts are the primary channel creating the problem, when emails fail covers the same principle applied to that medium. The channel switching logic holds across both. The written record question. There is one more thing worth addressing directly. In Chapter 11 of Say It Right Every Time, I write about the value of creating a written record before a high-stakes conversation. This applies here in a specific way. Your bridging message is itself a record. If the situation later becomes a formal matter, that message shows that you attempted de-escalation, proposed a richer channel, and signaled constructive intent. Send it from your work email or traceable platform if the stakes are high enough to warrant that. Keep a copy. This is not about building a case against the other person. It is about anchoring reality at a moment when memories of conflict tend to be selective. For more on the role of follow-up communication after difficult conversations, follow-up emails that reinforce accountability gives your clear method for what comes after the richer conversation happens. The recover method outlined in Say It Right Every Time covers what to do when a conversation goes wrong after you have made the switch, recognizing what went wrong, ending if needed, cooling down, owning your part, acknowledging the other person's experience, explaining your intent, and recommitting to the relationship. Your bridging message is step one of that process. The subsequent conversation is where the rest of it lives. Your pre-send checklist. Before you hit send on any tension-resolving message, run through this. Number 1. Have you waited until you're genuinely calm, not just calmer? Number 2. Does the opening line name the tension without assigning blame? Number 3. Have you named a specific channel, not a vague let's talk? Number 4. Have you offered two specific time windows? Number 5. Is your intent forward-looking, with no justification of your position? Number 6. Is the message 5 sentences or fewer? Number 7. Does the closing line feel human rather than formal? Number 8. Have you read it back and removed anything that continues the argument? If all 8 are yes, send it. If any are no, fix that element first. For situations where the text tension has begun to fracture team dynamics more broadly, how to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's synergy, and how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy give you the tools for the richer conversation itself once you've made the switch. And if you want to prepare your team to handle these moments before they happen, how to use the conversation pre-mortem to prepare your team for high-stakes synergy moments is worth working through together. Sending the message is only the beginning. The bridging message gets you out of the fire. It does not put the fire out. Once you're in the richer conversation, you still need to do the real work, listen, a acknowledge, explain your intent clearly, and, if necessary, take responsibility for your part before asking the other person to take theirs. Knowing what to do and actually doing it are two different things, as I write and say it right every time. That gap is where most communication effort lies. The tension-resolving message is, in many ways, the smallest step in the process. But it is also the most critical, because without it, you never get to the conversation where the real repair can happen. Write it carefully. Send it briefly. Then show up fully to the conversation it opens. Frequently asked questions. What is a tension-resolving message? A tension-resolving message is a short, carefully written note sent during or after a heated text exchange. Its sole purpose is to pause the conflict and invite the other person into a richer channel, such as a phone call or face-to-face conversation, where tone and nuance can be heard clearly. How do you write a tension-resolving message without sounding defensive? Keep it brief and forward-looking. Name the tension without assigning blame, propose a specific richer channel and time, and close with a genuine statement of intent to resolve things. Avoid explaining yourself in the message itself. Save the substance for the real conversation. When should you switch from text to a richer channel during a conflict? Switch as soon as the exchange produces more heat than clarity. If replies are getting shorter and sharper, if one party has stopped explaining and started relaxing, or if the same point has been made twice without resolution, the channel is the problem, not the people. What makes text messaging a poor channel for resolving workplace tension? Text strips out tone of voice, facial expression, and real-time response. Without those cues, the reader fills in the gaps with their worst assumptions. A neutral sentence reads as cold. A short reply reads as dismissive. The channel itself manufactures misunderstanding during conflict. How long should a tension-resolving message be? 3 to 5 sentences is enough. You need one sentence to acknowledge the tension, one to name the channel you are proposing, one to suggest a specific time, and one to signal good intent. Longer messages drift into argument and defeat the purpose entirely. What if the other person refuses to switch channels after you send the message? Acknowledge the reluctance without pressing them immediately. Send one follow-up that restates your intent and offers a different channel option. If they still refuse, continue in text with maximum clarity and restraint, and consider whether a third party such as a manager or mediator needs to be involved. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.